From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music. This morning's text is found in Psalm 73 and verse 23. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Nevertheless, as if, notwithstanding all the foolishness and ignorance which David had just been confessing to God, not one atom the less was it true and certain that David was saved and accepted, and that the blessing of being constantly in God's presence was undoubtedly his. Fully conscious of his own lost estate, and of the deceitfulness and vileness of his nature, yet by a glorious outburst of faith he sings, Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Believer, you are forced to enter into Asaph's confession and acknowledgment. Endeavor in like spirit to say, Nevertheless, since I belong to Christ, I am continually with God. By this is meant continually upon his mind. He is always thinking of me for my good. Continually before his eye, the eye of the Lord never sleepeth, but is perpetually watching over my welfare. Continually in his hand, so that none shall be able to pluck me thence. Continually on his heart, worn there as a memorial, even as the high priest bore the names of the 12 tribes upon his heart forever. Thou always thinkest of me, O God. The bowels of thy love continually yearn towards me. Thou art always making providence work for my good. Thou hast set me as a signet upon thine arm. Thy love is as strong as death. Many waters cannot quench it, neither can the floods drown it. Surprising grace! Thou seest me in Christ, and though in myself abhorred, thou beholdest me as wearing Christ's garments and washed in his blood, and thus I stand accepted in thy presence. I am thus continually in thy favor, continually with thee. Here is comfort for the tried and afflicted soul. Vexed with the tempest within, look at the calm without. Nevertheless, O, say it in thy heart, and take the peace it gives. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee.
Sometimes the music of my soul grows dim.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or phone or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres, freepres.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Paul's epistle to the Colossians. In chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, the apostle wrote of the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to God's saints. As Dr. Cairns has explained, mystery in the New Testament refers to a truth which has hitherto been concealed, but is now being made known or made manifest. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is the essence of this mystery, and he is revealed in the preaching of the gospel. This is what sinners need. Yet man by himself cannot come to the knowledge of God. Such knowledge comes only by divine revelation. In other words, by the preaching of Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
The two words, simplicity and life, never can go together. They're a contradiction, because the so-called simplest form of life is so unutterably complex that it's way beyond the current abilities of man to begin to comprehend. Now, when we lift this up to the spiritual level, we find that things are not only more complex, but in this matter of eternal truth, in the matter of the gospel, we are dealing with a kind of knowledge, a sphere of knowledge, that must forever remain outside of the ability of any man to penetrate. He could never attain it, no matter how scholarly his investigation. Yet the conceit of the human mind is, we can do it. But listen to what the scripture says. There is none that understandeth. What does that mean? Take a second look at it. It means just what it says. There's none that understandeth. Understandeth what? The whole revelation of the grace of God, the whole message of the Bible. There's none that understandeth. The Lord Jesus spoke to the effect that the light that is in man is darkness. And I think you're not pushing that too far if you come to the conclusion that the very strengths in the exercise of human intellect that can carry men to discover many things in various fields of study will actually work against them when they come to study the gospel. The light that is in them is darkness. The Apostle Paul said that their understanding is darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the ignorance of their heart. So this gospel remains a mystery to the natural man. The knowledge of God can never start with man. Now that brings us right up against a brick wall. Remember where John Calvin started his systematic theology? I've mentioned this on various occasions, and it shows the genius of a 27-year-old or 26-year-old when he first wrote this, the depth of his understanding as a man of God. The launching point of his entire theology starts off that a man must have knowledge of two things: a knowledge of God and a knowledge of himself. And on that hangs everything else. But here we get right up against that brick wall that I mentioned. Because the natural man cannot know God. Canst thou by searching find out God? The answer implied is no. And if you want to see a practical demonstration of that, then just look at the world today. Look at the world yesterday. Look at the world throughout its history. Look at the history of philosophy. Look at the history of religion. Look at every tribe and every nation under heaven. Apart from divine revelation, where has man ever, by the use of his investigative skill, by the use of his intuition, by the use of his philosophical faculty, by the use of his logic, where has man ever approached to anything like a semblance of the truth of God? You'll find the answer is Never once in the history of the world has it ever happened. And you look at the religions of the world today, though the politically correct crowd want you to believe that there's light in them all and there's truth in them all, and they're all ultimately presenting the same truth and the same God and the same gospel, that is just another repetition of the same old lie. And it's another religion of darkness masquerading as a unifying force among men. The truth is, men by searching can never find out God. The gospel must be communicated by God, by revelation. And when you stop to think of it, what could you know about God if God didn't tell you about him? That puts it very plainly, I think. And it also puts all the wise guys in their place. And I'm always happy to do that. These people who can come and pontificate, well, this is God as I conceive him. And who on earth in his right mind has 2 seconds to waste on thinking about what you conceive about God? I mean, the thing is crazy. How would they know? How would they know? How could we say anything about God unless God has first said it to us about himself? What arrogance it is for any mortal man to stand up and give us what God is and what God says unless he's simply repeating what God says or expounding what God says. Certainly, this gospel must be communicated by divine revelation. But that's exactly what the gospel is. It's a pure divine revelation. And the important thing to note about it is this. It is a pure divine revelation that consummates all former revelation and leaves room for no other revelation to follow it. That's the New Testament teaching of the mystery. This mystery, as I pointed out last week, that was hidden from former generations and ages, it's not to say that it's not in the Old Testament, it's not referred to, it's not at all present. That's not the teaching, because the apostle says it's by the scriptures of the prophets that it's made known to us. So it's in the Old Testament, but it's opened up in the New Testament. For example, you'll get the doctrine of the Trinity in the Old Testament, but you have it opened up in the New Testament. You have certainly strong evidences of the deity of Christ in the Old Testament, but it's fully opened up in the New Testament. You have great teaching in the Old Testament, both by type and prophecy, of the atoning death of Jesus Christ, but it's expounded fully in the New Testament. You have the doctrine of the resurrection in the Old Testament, but it's fully expounded in the New Testament. This is what Paul means. This gospel of justifying grace in Jesus Christ, of the imputation of the merits of a perfect Redeemer, it's in the old, but it's fully set forth in the new. And this full setting forth of this divine revelation in the New Testament consummates all former revelation, and it leaves no place or room for any other to follow. Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in or by his Son. The whole revelation is now that which is in and by his Son. That's why the New Testament ends with a curse from heaven on any who would dare either to take away from or add to the volume of inspiration. Because Christ is God's last word. And as I did call him constantly Noel Shields, but by this time you know his name was Hughes. As Mr. Hughes pointed out, that puts Peb to the claims of Muhammad. He's a false prophet. Doesn't matter how many billion people in the world are taken in and are fanatical followers, he's a false prophet. It takes care of Joseph Smith and his iniquitously named Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. It's a church only in the sense that any assembly, even the ungodly assembly in Ephesus, was called an ecclesia, or as the Americans will mispronounce the Greek, an ecclesia. Is that right, Mike? Yeah, definitely. Mispronunciation. I was there and I ought to know. That ungodly assembly that was wanting to commit murder, it was called an assembly, a church. So in that general sense, the Church of Joseph Smith's a church. But it's not of Jesus Christ. It's the most blasphemous, iniquitous, perverted system that you could imagine. I'm not going into that this morning. And it certainly has nothing to do with saints, latter or former. Why? Well, because of the whole raft of blasphemous teachings, for a start. But second, right on this basic principle, once this revelation was given, it's complete. That's the end of all the Joseph Smiths of the world. It also puts Peb to the claims of the charismatic so-called prophets who come to bind the consciences of God's people with extra-biblical revelations. This is God's revelation. His full and final gospel. Now, without this revelation, men are going to stay in the dark. And that, you know, that's a huge thing for the Church of Jesus Christ to remember. It's a thing for Christians to get in their mind. The whole world lieth not only in wickedness, but in darkness. Without the gospel, men are in darkness. That places a tremendous burden of obligation upon those who have the light to go in where the darkness is thickest and so let their light shine before men that they may glorify God. That's the obligation. The world lies in darkness. The heathen world, the pagan world, the world of false religion, the world of Western secularism, drowning in its own prosperity. It's lying in darkness and needs the gospel. Without the revelation, sinners must forever live and die in darkness.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.